Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Trust that our worship to God can continue. Inspired the Sunday school lesson and devotions to think about God and building His kingdom. Trust that the sermon this morning can help inspire us too. Thinking a little bit about what to preach. This weekend is known as Memorial Day in the society around us. And its purpose is to commemorate those who have given their lives for the sake of the country, heroes that people want to remember. In the Christian life, there are heroes that inspire us also. There are a number of, we get inspiration from those who have been faithful and who have unselfishly given of themselves to further the kingdom, further the cause that they believed was important. So I'm going to tell you the message this morning, who are the true heroes? Who are the true heroes? And well, okay. Well, some people today, the world is concerned, many people today don't understand what it's about, really don't remember, and really don't understand what it's about. They just see it as a holiday, just see it as a time to take off, and don't really think about what it means. But those who have been personally touched, those who have lost family members, or who have had family members hurt in the line of duty, it's taken serious. Think about it seriously and understand very clearly what it means. For us, many people today in the world around us are not personally involved in the armed services, are not personally involved in it like that. But as Christians today, we are all involved in the kingdom, in the service of our King. If you're a Christian today, you are in the line of duty, and heroes that have gone before us are taking a very personal meaning, because we are attaining, we are fighting the same fight that they were involved in, and we're facing the same enemy they did. And for those that were victorious, we want to be victorious like they were. And so it becomes very personal for us. I was impressed with the number of parallels that we'll draw out as we go along. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and I want to read verses 10 through 18. Thinking about those who gave themselves for the cause of Christ, there are actually a lot of people that we could, that we owe a debt of gratitude to, who have been faithful to God, who have followed His call in their life, and have made our lives easier. We could think of those who translated the Bible, and some of those we know gave their life to do that. They had a deep love, a deep cause that they believed in, that the common man should be able to read God's Word. And they invested their life. They put a personal commitment on that. They put that before their own priorities, before their own objectives in life, and made that happen. And we benefit from that today. And the Anabaptists, as they stood up against the church of their day, the state church, and stood up for what was right and what the Bible taught at all costs. And many of them gave their own lives for that and helped to establish worship and understanding of God's Word that we appreciate today. Those that came to America, those that came, fled persecution, and what fled to an unknown place, left their homes, left their families, left all that they had behind, and went to an unknown land. But our experience is somewhat different than Carl warfare, in that the captain that we found, the one who is our leader, was the one who made the ultimate sacrifice and was the ultimate example for us. Most important was Jesus, as he gave himself, as he came here and lived as a man, experienced what we experience, and was faithful in bringing salvation from God to man, bringing that connection from God to man, and helping us so that we can experience peace and salvation like God wanted. Ephesians 6, let's start reading verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We'll stop there. If you were preparing to go out and defeat a carnal enemy, a carnal, preparing for normal warfare, as our world knows it, you would want to stockpile, you would want to make adequate preparations, you would want to prepare all that you can in preparation for that. All kinds of armaments, all kinds of defenses, all kinds of supplies that you think you would need. So you would be prepared. So you wouldn't get into battle and find yourself unprepared. You wouldn't get into battle and find yourself without defense. You wouldn't get into battle and find yourself without armament or equipment to strike the enemy. In this warfare, God has supplied our armament. He supplied all that we need. He supplied the arsenal, all the supplies that we need. He has stockpiled, he has ready. And his armor is complete and perfect. In the world, it depends who has the latest technology, who has the latest and the strongest and the best. And when one person has that, the other side comes out with something that can overcome that. Well, that's not the way it is in this warfare. And Satan would be a defeated foe as he faces God's armament, as he faces God's defenses. There's nothing that he can do to overcome them. The problem is that we fail to put them on. We fail to take up those supplies. We fail to put up those supplies that God has provided. That's his only chance. That's his only way that he can overcome. The only way that he has any hope is if God's people don't arm themselves with the supplies that God has provided. If we don't take advantage of these things that God has given us, if we don't put on the whole armor of God, and it lists the different things, and we can spend all morning just talking about that. The gospel of peace and the faith, salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and prayer. If we avail ourselves of those things, there's no one, we cannot be defeated. But Satan knows that too many times he can find loopholes. Those who have not adequately protected themselves, have not adequately put on God's armament, then he has a chance. Now, turn to 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 5. One of the different ways of commemorating and showing our respect to those who have given for the common cause today, or Memorial Day is especially for those who are fallen, who made the ultimate sacrifice, who have given their lives for the country. But in the Christian life, we're all to give our lives, even though we're living, even though we're alive, and God is calling us to give our life. And so I think this is very applicable to us. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 5. Now I myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence are base and base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we had walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Again, he's highlighting that our battle is not carnal, but spiritual. And weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. There are strong enemies that we face, and we need God's help, God's armament, to overcome them. God calls us to put our life on the line, not always in a spiritual sense. Now, I think I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. I'm wondering Romans 12, where some of that's coming from. But you see there, I would like to point out right there, the Apostle Paul as a hero of the faith, as one who we look up to. He doesn't come back as a proud conqueror. Notice his tone, his spirit of meekness. Beseech you in the meekness and gentleness of Christ to embrace among you. There are some common traits that heroes have. And you can look up what makes a true hero in today's world, what people consider to be a hero, and what typical traits that people have, and we're going to talk about those just a little bit more later. But one of the traits of God's heroes are that they are humble, that they are meek, that they are not proclaiming themselves. And Paul is a true example of that. He realized that his strength and his overcoming came from God. That's a trait of a true hero for Christ. And because of that, he was able to overcome. He was cast down in strongholds and those many enemies that he faced, which is what they were. Now, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is the next that I want to look at. And verse 1 is a familiar verse to us. We think about that. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. To be in the army of the Lord, to be on his side, we need to give ourselves to him. Our bodies need to be presented as a living sacrifice to him. We need to put our whole life on the line. We don't know what all that means, the way a soldier going into battle does not know what that means, but he's committed. He's committed, he's given his life to the cause, and he's willing to do whatever it takes, even if it means that he's going to give his physical life. In a very real sense, we commit ourselves to God in the same way. Now let's keep on reading here. And notice especially some common traits that we need to be successful, some common things that God's soldiers, God's heroes are going to have. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that's one of them, renewing of your mind. And you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say to you, the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kind in affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one to another, mind not bad things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as laughing, you live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, I shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And again, that whole chapter is focused on overcoming. And what characteristics of a godly person, of a godly warrior who is faithful and who is overcoming the enemy and the things that he's going to do. We notice the renewed mind, being born again in verse 2. Verse 3, again, the thought of humility and thinking, well, think not of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And a warrior for God is not going to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, not going to have himself lifted up in pride, but he's going to think soberly, he's going to think realistically, he's going to see the serious side of life. The incarnate warfare, there's many different positions that people fit, many different places. Some people can be used and some people can't. Some people don't fit. But in God's kingdom, God has a place for everyone. He has given unique abilities and unique gifts to each of his people, whether it's men or women, young or old, there's a place for each one to fill. Important place, a place that no one else can take care of. A place in the heroes in Hebrews 11, which we'll look at shortly. There's places where people that fill different roles, and they had an important place that God had for each of them. Different gifts. Verse 16 speaks about unity. Speaks about working together, being at peace with each other. And these are characteristics that hearers have. God's hearers are going to have these different things. Now, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We call this the faith chapter, or hearers of faith. Faith is something that I'm going to say heroes have, especially God's, those that are heroes in God's kingdom, those that are faithful warriors for Him. Someone going out to battle doesn't know what the outcome is going to be, but he has a belief, he has confidence, and he has a confidence and a belief in a cause. And you've heard me mention that a number of times, about a cause or a reason, something to fight for. And that's something that heroes have in common. They either, in one sense, they might value other people. In other words, thinking about heroes in a everyday life, they value other people. They value other people's lives. They really care about other people. They really care about someone else's life. They really care what happens to others. In carnal warfare, it's about a cause. It's about something more than just them. It's more than just about a person or two. It's about a goal or a belief system. And in God's kingdom, it's about a cause. There is a cause. There is something that we need to believe in. We need our faith in. Believe that their cause is right. They believe that life is about more than just them. Life is about something greater. Life is about something more. And my life is worthy of being given to this cause, or being given for someone else. It really is. So, in a very real sense, faith is part of being a hero. And the Bible talks about the faithful, and really that's who God's heroes are, or is the faithful, those that have faith, and those that are highlighted in a chapter like this, those who have lived this out, and many, many, many others who are not in this chapter, throughout the years, throughout the ages. In this chapter, it's right for us to look at what they did that helped them to be faithful, the challenges that they faced, and how they exercised their faith in their circumstances. One thing that you'll find about heroes, about the faithful, is that they're not supernatural. They're common people. They're common people like you and I. But somehow, the faith that they had, the belief that they had in that cause, the confidence that they had in their leader, caused them to do some supernatural things, do things that most people wouldn't do. But it wasn't because they themselves were special. They themselves were unusual or supernatural. We can be a part of this group, and we need to be a part of the kingdom of God, of His faithful followers. It is a choice we make. It's a choice we make as we sit here this morning, and it's a choice we make as we go from day to day. What cause we're going to live for, or if we're going to have ourselves, or if we're going to live for ourselves. If we see something worthwhile, if we see something greater than ourselves that's worth our life, worth our effort, we can put ourselves into that. It's our choice whether we're going to be a hero or not. This morning it's our choice if we're going to be a hero or not. It's our choice if we're going to be faithful in God's kingdom. It's a choice we make. Any one of us can choose to be a part of that. Any one of us can choose to not be a part of that. those are exceptionally dedicated to the cause. I mean, that was probably one of the first
traits and most important traits. They value that cause, or they value those other people's lives more than those around them do. They have a higher estimation of that cause than others.
Question this morning is, how clear vision do we have of that cause? How highly do we esteem the cause of Christ? How important is it to us?
Do we see it as critical? Heroes are everyday people. Heroes have moral integrity. I was impressed as just in a kind of descriptive list of what people calculate to be heroes today. Heroes have moral integrity. They're not two-faced. They're not hypocrites. Hypocrites of today that people consider heroes are people that are honest and genuine the whole way through. And that's the way God's faithful are too. They are genuine. They live out what they believe. And they're genuine the whole way through. Let's go. At this point, I'm going to just read Hebrews 11. And then we'll pick out a number of things about some of the people in here. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Those last three verses sound a lot like the story of Abraham. And I don't know if they're somewhat picking out what he went through. We'll talk about that a little more. Verse 18, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of Daniel also, and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They were true heroes. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through the faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Just a lot of things that we could pick out there, but just each one of those, it was a measure of faith, and a faith in something, in a tremendous cause, something beyond them. They just, none of them could really see what was going to happen, what was going to be the outcome, how it was going to end up. We can look back and we see how each of those things ended up, and we can see God working through it. But for each of them, it was a step of faith. It was a tremendous exercise for them to hear God's call, hear God's word, and to believe that to the point that they put their lives on the line and follow it, no matter what it would, no matter where it would end. And God used that. And because of that, we remember them. And God remembers them. Just pick out a couple of them. By faith, Abel offered unto God an excellent sacrifice and came. What did Abel do to be able to offer an acceptable sacrifice? The first thing, and we don't understand exactly how God had communicated to them, but he understood what God wanted. He understood who God was, how great God was, and he needed to give his best. Cain also tried to give what he thought was his best, what he thought would satisfy God, but it was not according to God's plan. Somehow, Abel had an understanding of what God wanted. And he believed that. He accepted that. Cain might have understood, but he said, no, I'm going to do it my way. He didn't accept that and believe that for himself. And then Abel followed through and obeyed. And really, that's what a lot of faith ends up being. We need to understand, and different people, different. There's a possibility we can get tripped up at any one of those steps. Many people don't understand fully. But if we open ourselves up to God, we believe that He can help us to understand. And many, His Spirit is faithful in speaking to us if we allow Him to. But when God speaks, then we need to believe. We need to accept it. We need to realize that that's for me. He's speaking to me, and it means me. And it means that I need to follow. And then to actually obey, actually do it. We have to understand today. We have to understand the battle lines. We have to read God's word so we understand what is right and what's wrong. What's truth and what's falsehood. And the things that we need to stand up for. We need to believe that. And we need to follow that. We need to have the Word of God as a guide for our lives. We need to accept that and just put it into practice. Just follow it. If we do that, that's what the faithful do. Enoch, it says he talked with God. It's translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Somehow he had the testimony that he talked with God. He was a friend of God. He spent time with God. And one person described it as he was talking with God like he usually did each day. And one day God said, come along home with me. Come on home. Talk about faith. You talk about exercising your belief in God in a cause that's greater than us, in a cause that's beyond what we can see. To have a relationship with God like that, that we can communicate with Him, that we can talk with Him, and we know Him, and God knows us. It's a challenge for us to be a hero like that. Now, being warned of God, things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark, the saving of his house. And the thing that stands out, he's described as being a preacher of righteousness. You know what it's like to try to preach righteousness when people don't accept it. And the thing that stands out in Noah's life is year after year after year. After 25 years, Noah didn't give up. After 50 years, preaching and being rejected, spending his energy, spending his life working on that ship that God had commanded. He didn't give up, but he continued. Talk about a greater cause. Talk about a cause that he believed in, that he was ready to follow, ready to pursue. And, well, we need to accept what God says as truth and fact, like he did. But God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. God had told him that there would be a flood, and that he would be delivered. And that's what happened. We mentioned about Abraham and the way he went up and moved. And that's always a challenge to be called to move when we don't know where we're going to. We don't know what it's going to involve. We're leaving behind the comforts and the things that give us security, that give us, that we're used to. But God called him to the land of promise. God told him to come to that promised land, what became known as the promised land, that land of milk and honey. And so he gave up the comforts he had. And he moved, he followed God, and he went to the land of promise. What did he do there? Did he set up a tent city and made himself at home and set up all his vineyards and everything? No, Abram didn't put down his roots there, not even in the promised land. In the promised land where God called him to, he kept his focus on that city which had, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was called from where he was, from his home, to the promised land, but he kept his view on heaven, something beyond. Talk about faith. Talk about someone who kept in mind that cause, kept in mind something beyond this life, something that was far greater. Moses was a common man. God came to him and called him, and he said, "I can't do it. It's beyond me. I can't speak. You're asking me to go and speak. I can't do that." But he got a hold of himself and he obeyed. And he's known as a hero of faith. Would we have the courage to go to the leader of our land, to the president, whoever, and tell them what God has to say? If it was to do something, or else God would have punishment. That would be a pretty big challenge. But can we obey even when we're weak if God calls us? But many times God doesn't call us to go to the president. God calls us to go and speak to a brother or sister in the church or to our neighbor. He calls us to speak to someone around us. Moses said, "I can't go. I can't speak. I can't put it into words. I can't say what I want to say." God said, "Go do it." And he did. He finally went and did it. God sent along Aaron. God sent along someone to help him. And many times we need someone to help us. But we need to go and do what God has said. Most of these faithful were faithful with their life. But verses 35 and 37 mentions about those who gave up their life to be faithful, who faced or could have accepted deliverance, but they didn't, because they wanted to stay faithful to God. Heroes are a challenge to us. We look up to them as someone who is someone that we want to pattern after. We want to, their life of sacrifice, their life, their view of the higher cause, of God's kingdom, and their ability to keep that before them and to make decisions based on that rather than the things that are around us that are so real to us, in a sense, is a real challenge to us. And a real encouragement to us to continue on. Sometimes we feel so human, so calm, so unable. But that's how they were too. But it's a decision we make. If we're going to be faithful, if we're going to be one of the faithful of God's kingdom, we need to make a decision. It starts with a decision. And some things we follow after. May we find courage, find encouragement, and find inspiration to be faithful, to be true heroes of our day. True heroes in the things that matter. True heroes in the kingdom that's going to stand forever. Let's pray.